This is an opportunity to worship you, Father, and to come before you and pour out our hearts to you. Just ask that you would bless this time, that you would bless this place. And would you speak to our hearts, Lord? I pray that we would, Lord, that we would be able to surrender and free up the concerns or the thoughts or the burdens that we carry and just trust you to carry them for us and take them away and just free us up to hear your voice. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Surpasses my understanding, love that conquers my fear and regret, joy unending, eternal pleasure, it's in your presence. My risen King, and I will seek first your kingdom. I will seek first your righteousness, and everything I need, you will provide for me. My heart is to seek first your kingdom. Peace surpasses my understanding. Love that conquers my fear and regret. And there's joy unending, eternal pleasure, it's in your presence, my risen King. And I will seek first your kingdom. I will seek first your righteousness, and everything I need, you will provide for me. My heart is to seek first your kingdom. Oh, you're all I really want. Oh, you're all I really need. Father, every breath I've got, you have given it to me. Oh, you're all I really want. Oh, you're all I really need. Father, every breath I've got, you have given it to me. Oh, you're all I really want. Oh, you're all I really need. Father, every breath I've got, you have given it to me. Oh, you're all I really want. Oh, you're all I really need. Father, every breath I've got, you've given it to me. And I will seek first your kingdom. I will seek first your righteousness, and everything I need, you will provide for me. My heart is to seek first your kingdom. My heart is to seek first your kingdom. Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. Come opening the break, his broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? And our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. And our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save, here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? And our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. And our God is Lamb. The Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Yes, who can stop the Lord Almighty? And our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. And our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Thank you. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Come to the altar. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Lord, we give this time to you, and we just are grateful for this blessing to worship you. Thank you. Just pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and take a moment to just greet each other as you're grabbing your seats.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning, a good group of folks. Hope you guys take the time to come back and enjoy our time here in fellowship. And along with that, an announcement for what we're going to be doing here for a community fun night. It's going to be on Friday, May 25th from 5 to 8:30. Now, right now, we only had, was it three, Missy? Three? We only have three. I'll throw my hat in the ring and... Oh, I know how to do it. I'm not like Pastor Rich. Pastor Rich knows how to make good chili. I know how to make it by recipe. But I'll throw my hat in a ring. So that's four. We need at least two or three more so that we have enough folks that we can have a real chili cook-off and have somebody, and we're going to have some folks come out and actually judge the chili. So we need at least two or three more folks, and you can do it by recipe. It's no big deal. Well, as a matter of fact, we'll just, you know, we'll let Pastor Rich win just to make him feel better, okay? But please, just a couple, two or three more folks to make some chili so that we can get this going. It's going to be a fine time either way, whether it's with chili or without chili or whatever. But we're going to have bounce houses out there. We have games that will be going on and stuff like that. And for everybody who's coming here, who are regulars here, please take the time to ask folks that live around you, your neighbors and stuff like that, to come out for this community thing. It's going to be a lot of fun and have a good chance to sit down with the folks in the community. My understanding is we're going to have pork that we're going to be eating. So if you're Jewish, then you may not want to come. But still, you can come out and enjoy the fellowship, right? So please come out for that. And then another big one is the kids camp that's for real. It's in your bulletin, and it's going to be in your main bulletin. It's not going to be on the little handout, okay? So it's going to be May 30th through June 2nd. Camp Elam up in Woodland Park for grades 3 through 6. You guys have heard me talk about this a few times now that we're getting closer and closer to this date. Now, today, I've talked about also about scholarships that are available for this and that you usually have to go online for it. Well, we got a treat for you today. So if you have a kid that you want a scholarship for that, we actually have the paperwork here today. And I think we have like three of them, four. So we have like four of those here today. So if you have a child that you would like to go and like to have one of those scholarships, then we have the paperwork downstairs with our director, Dan Hayes, and then we can get that paperwork filled out and make sure that your kids make it to that camp, okay? So please, if you're interested and you want to do that, if you just go down and see Dan after worship or after our sermon today and just get with him, then we can help you fill out the paperwork and get that rolling, okay? And then one thing here. I took Spanish only 1 year, so it's something on here about mayonnaise and not to be late or something, right? No. So what we're going to have is we're going to have Spanish ministry going on here, and there are flyers out in the hallway on the welcome table. If you notice, it's going to be on the 3rd of May, and it'll be at 6:30 in the evening here at the church, okay? So I know we have a lot of folks out in the community, so get those folks in here as well. So we don't leave anybody behind, regardless of what language they speak. So it's an awesome thing that we're going to have this Spanish ministry going on here to get these people, you know, inside the church and love on them and not leave them out. So please, if you could get this out to friends and family that are around here as well, that would be great. And then lastly, we are going to do a short video that deals with the men's retreat.
Oh, didn't see you there. I'm Mike, and I'm a man. Join us at Men's Retreat, where we do manly things. Men, 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 men.
Yep. Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know, Mike did take my place on staff for the men's ministry, and we are looking forward to a great time. I know Scott and I will be there. Please sign up online and come. It's going to be a great time and a fun time. We have an extra joy today, I believe. I thought I saw. Yes, we do. This wasn't planned, but Doug and Heather are here, and so Doug and Heather Saxon, please stand. And so, and two of their daughters as well. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I won't make them stand, you know. But young guys, pay attention. I'm just kidding. They are going to be taking Deb Rumsey's place at Rocky Mountain Calvary in the children's ministry, and the new pastor's on staff. I have had a joy of knowing Doug and Beth for quite some time. I actually taught a couple of the classes when they were going through the School of Discipleship and Ministry, and just had fun, you know, with them and things like that. But a joy to have you with us today, and a great time. This week we are starting a mini series. Many of you know we are up to Ephesians 5, verse 22. And the joy of thinking about marriage and family is ours now. As I have shared time and time again, from Ephesians 1:1 all the way to and through verse 21, if those things are not fruitful in your life and my life, then verse 22 and following, our individual relationships are going to struggle. They're just going to struggle. You and I have to be looking at the identity which we have in Christ from the moment of salvation, being blessed with every spiritual blessing, and the wonders of what we have in the sacrifice of Christ and salvation, and how to transform from within out. That's what God's called us to do wonderfully. To be able to have a marriage that is fulfilling, God-honoring, and joyful. I do read a number of books, and I was reading a Chuck Swindoll book a number of years ago, and he shared how one of his friends had the joy of spending a weekend with his grandparents as they celebrated their 60th anniversary. Now, that is cool. You know, 60 years together. They were in their early 80s. And, you know, they got married young, kind of like Diana and I did. We will actually celebrate our 50th before we turn 70, and that's going to be fun. And just the joy of that. And they stayed afterwards to help clean up. Now, Grandma had some hearing problems in her left ear. Grandpa had some hearing problems in his right ear. Now, they're in their 80s. And, you know, and so he realized that throughout the whole day, people had to speak up a little bit to help Grandma and Grandpa, and they had to try to be on the proper side, you know. And it was sad that they didn't have a little hearing problem on the same side, all the, you know, both of them, so it would just... But as the day wore on and they knew Grandpa and Grandma were getting tired, people went and they stayed to help clean up. And Grandpa and Grandma decided to go out on the porch, and where they were and how they were situated, they could watch the sun go down, and it was just going to be a breathtaking sunset. And so Grandpa and Grandma went out and sat in their swing, and they sat there, and they're swinging, and Grandma looked over, and they heard this, and she said, "Brett, I just want you to know I am very proud of you. Now, she's sitting on the right, her bad ear. He's sitting on the left, his bad ear. And he looked at her kind of odd and said, well, honey, I want you to know I'm very tired of you, too. And they sat there holding hands, watching the sun set without any more conversation. We don't know if they heard each other or not. We assume they didn't, but they were in a place after 60 years, in a place to where they just trusted their spouse. Marriage and the identity of family is one of, if not the highest priority of our God. Church is meant to be family. The body of Christ is meant to be family. If you are here today and you and I are in Christ, we are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, that's the ultimate wonderful goal and the wonder of it. It is a high calling. It is something that God has brought to pass and needs to be recognized in our lives, needs to be a part of our lives. So as you're in Ephesians 5, I'm going to take the time this morning to read through starting 5:21 all the way through 6:4. But I want you to know we're not going to camp there today because Eric and I have chosen to do two messages on this portion, 22 through 33, and then one more on parenting. Now, with parenting and the thought of parenting, I want you to know that for the very first time at Rocky Mountain, they are starting the Art of Parenting, and it kicks off this weekend. You can sign up for it right now. It is free, 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 free. It will be Saturday nights at Rocky Mountain, and you will have child care. And so if you are looking at parenting, please go. Please go. Now, I hope to get both the Art of Marriage out here as well as the Art of Parenting out here eventually, but it is being offered right now, and we can't offer it quite yet here, so please go. And if it's Saturday night, allow that to be your worship. I'll be fine with that if you go to that, if that is something that you want and need and would enjoy taking with your spouse. So I just leave that there with you. It's kicking off this week, the sign-ups. And it's free. Take advantage of it. I know as Diane and I began parenting, and of course we started outside of Christ, and I have to admit early on, I had no clue what I was doing. And I realized that when they hit 15 and 16 and 17, I still had no clue what I was doing. But it is a great adventure. And it is so much fun because every child is so, so different, so wonderfully different than the other. I mean, God truly, with the majority of the populace, when we are procreated and created, we are different than anybody else. And that's exciting. And that's what makes us a joy in God's heart. And we are part of His wonderful design. You know, and so it is a part of just the fun journey of being a child of God and getting to meet so many people that are different than us. Ephesians 5, starting with verse 21. Submitting to one another in fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your goodness to us. And Lord, as we approach this beautiful subject, Lord, I pray your hand of blessing here today, especially as we come around the communion table. Might we see and realize the wonders of how much you love us and the reality of your presence here today. So we ask your hand of blessing during this time, that our hearts would be open to your word, and that your spirit would have free reign in our hearts and lives, and that, Lord, I plead that not one word of truth would be snatched from anyone's heart here this day. For your glory and your glory alone, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we look at this and the identity of family and the reality of family, I want us to see and first and foremost to declare this. God is the only legitimate author of family. Let me repeat that. God is the only legitimate author of family. What do I mean by that? Well, we live in a culture and a society and a world where many people try to define it and realize it. And I just want us to know that as we look at God's word, he is the only legitimate author of what family looks like. Well, what do I mean? Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. First, I want us to see today that family is God's design. First and foremost, I want us to see that family is God's design, his wonderful design. In Genesis chapter 1, we would go through the account of creation, and by the time you get to verse 26, you and I read something really special. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image, and in the image he created him, male and female, he created them. You know, you and I are God's creation. You and I are created in God's image. What does that look like? You know, the fact that God chose in a wonderful way to have us come, not only physically, but to have a living soul, to where you and I could commune with the true and living God. And we see Adam very early on, even before Eve is created, communing with God. You know, God in here talking. They are having communication. He is walking with him. And the joy of that and the wonder of creation. We would see that after Eve is created, the same thing continues. This couple now that God has designed specifically and wonderfully are created to commune with God and to have this personal relationship. And so, as he is the only legitimate author, he is the design of it. He has created us, male and female. He's created you. You and I are procreated, I know that. But yet, it is God's design. If we look at Psalm 139 rightly, you know, the psalmist understood that. You know, I was fearfully and wonderfully wrought in my mother's womb. Yeah, and the joy of that. So, you know, as we look at each other and as we walk the streets, and Diane and I have walked the streets of New York City, Chicago, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and all these different places, Jerusalem, all of these different places, and we've seen a lot of different people. And guess what? They bear the image of God. And the joy of that, and the wonder of that. God's beautiful, wonderful design, and with that, God then intentionally says, guess what? I've got a purpose for each and every one of you, and it starts in the body of Christ. The family of God, the overall family of God. That's why as we look at Ephesians 5, we do kind of center on a particular relationship, but it starts with a relationship within the family of God. That's why whenever I start with premarital counseling or marital counseling, I start with verse 20, giving thanks to God for everything, my spouse, and learning how to submit to one another and fear of God together before we even get to that personal relationship of husband and wife. The joy of God's creation. I love what is in Psalm 128. It's one of the Psalm of Ascents. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his way. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Behold, thus shall a man be blessed who fears the Lord. Proverbs 18 says this, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. Proverbs 18 says, a man who finds a wife finds a treasure and he receives favor from the Lord. So I challenge you and I encourage you at this moment, if you are sitting next to your spouse, and so I'm going to wander over there. I hope it doesn't squawk at me. But I want us to kind of go through this thing. And if your spouse isn't here today, go home and do it afterwards. If you're single for whatever reason, think about when you can do it. All right. But my wife is a treasure to me. And because we are created in God's image, you know, I like to look at my wife, Diane, and just simply say this, whether I say it internally or whether I say it to her verbally, I just thank God for the precious treasure that he has given me in you. Guys, go ahead, love your wife. And tell her she's a treasure to you from God. Feel free to do it right here, right now. I don't care if you're carrying or not. It's okay. And the reality of it. And guess what, guys? We're not left out of that. You know, and I would like Diane to look at me because I am created in God's image as well, and this is God's design, that as I strive to love her as Christ loves the church, well, gosh, I would hope then I would be a treasure from God specifically for her as well. And so, wives, you can tell your husbands that they are a treasure to you from the Lord as well. If you want to, feel free. I love you. Yeah, now that might sound silly, but it's not. It's God's word. This is God's design and the wonders of it. I have been called to be a shepherd. You know, and I know we're going to be doing James after this, and that means somewhere along the line, I'm going to have to teach through James chapter 3. Now, and James chapter 3 just starts out with this huge, huge responsibility for a pastor. I know Peter has this thought of I am called to be an example to the whole flock of God and the wonder of it. You know, and so it starts God's design. I have received all of the love of God in the wonders of salvation, and I am to pass that along to the flock of God that he has entrusted to my care. Why? Because he wants us to be a family. He wants us to be a family that rejoices in all that God has given us. He yearns for us to be that. I think of the years that Diane went through being a child of God before I became a child of God, and how difficult that might have been for her as she is learning what a godly wife is, and I'm clueless over here. I'm graceless, and in some cases, even loveless. And I've shared this numerous times in many pulpits, many scenarios, men's retreats, children's things. I had no clue how to really love my wife until I got saved and received the love of God myself and began learning what God's design is for me as a man. And at that time, as a husband, as a parent, you know, and the joy of that, and learning and allowing God to work in me and through me. And so as he is the author, this is his design. He has created us male and female. And all God's people said, and the differences are wonderful. They are just truly joyous. I love what Adam does in chapter 2, starting with about verse 15, and we'll head on down through in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Notice what it says. Then the Lord God took the man, and Adam's the only one created at this time, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat it, you shall surely die. And the Lord said this, it is not good that man should be alone. Therefore, I will make him a helper comparable to him, or that completes him. Out of the ground of the Lord, God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds and the air of the air and to every beast of the field. And to Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him, or that completes him. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, now, and I want you to know in the Hebrew, this is poetic. This is a little hymn of psalm. And he says, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. What a beautiful thing. This is God's design. You know, and the joy of marriage, every aspect of it, is there. And I'm not saying it's easy, folks. I am not saying that. It is challenging because, I mean, guess what? Diane still has a sin nature. You never see it. And I understand that. And guess what? Rich Bailey still has a sin nature. And hopefully you don't see it very often. But we sometimes reveal it to each other. Not that any of you married folks ever struggle with that, but that's the reality of life. And so we will say things that will be hurtful. We will do things that will be hurtful. We will be men, clueless so many times. Women will automatically think that we can read their minds, and through body language and other things, we should know exactly what the need at the moment is, unspoken. And there's that truth that goes along with that, and so within that, we sometimes hurt each other. And that's why Ephesians 4 is so clear that needs to be happening in our lives. We need to learn how to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Because sometimes it hurts. And sometimes it's foolish. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's unintentional. But that is the reality of every relationship. And if we learn how to forgive one another within the body of Christ, the way God has designed the body of Christ to glorify Him, to be that precious, beautiful bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb, then how much easier will it be for us once we start cohabitating as husband and wife in under the same roof to be able to forgive one another? I think it should be easier for you and I to forgive one another for two reasons. One, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the example of what Christ has done for us in forgiving us. That's number one. And number two is the fact that we don't live under the same roof. And so it's easier that when we say something foolish or do something to forgive one another. Once you start residing under the same roof and occupying the same rooms and things like that, the thought of not forgiving, I think, rises. Oh, they should know I didn't mean that. Really? No. But somehow we think by just the fact that we live together as husband and wife now, sweep that one under the rug. Yeah, I had somebody come in who struggled with their pastor, and they brought in this thought of, out of their wallet, this wrinkly, old, dirty piece of paper, and it had 22 things that their pastor had done through the years. Fortunately, I wasn't that man. But I looked at him, I go, well, have you talked to him about any of these? No. Why not? Yeah. Now, I'd often tell people, you know, I know I have the capability of still sinning and I can say things. I like to be, have fun and things like that. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, there's a dozen of us there in the middle of the thing. And Scott says, well, I don't mean to take away from what you're saying, Pastor, but I'm going to say. And so I smacked him by the back of the head and I said, okay, DeNozo, go ahead. You know, and that's just me. You know, having fun. And, you know, I thought about it after everybody left, and I'm in my study here praying, and I go, gosh, I hope Scott took that all right. So I said, Scott, did you take it all right?
I know who DeNozo is, so yeah.
Oh, okay. But I hope the rest of the 10 guys understood what I was saying. But anyways, yeah, and so I know that with some, I thought we knew each other well enough, and he knew DeNozzo, and so that would be just something quipful. But yet, with one another, if I did that, Steve Levison, I don't think he would know me well enough. Mike, I don't think you would know me well enough. You know, I smack you back in the head. But Scott and I have been doing ministry together for a while, even before we got here, and so I thought he might know me well enough to know I'm just kidding around. But that's the danger, but yet the joy of being a family to when you can do those things together. God's design, male and female. He looked that day at all of creation after the woman now is created, and he goes, you know what? This is very good. Day one, it's good. Day two, it's good. Day three, it's good. Day four, it's good. Day five, it's good. Day six, after Adam, hey, it's good. Then he created woman, and he goes, wow, this is very good. God's design is so marvelous and so wonderful for you and I to jump into and realize what God has. The second thing I want us to know, it's a covenant. Notice right there in verse 24 of chapter 2, he says, therefore a man shall leave his family and his mother and be joined to his wife and shall become one flesh. You know, the reality that God's design is that before him, when we become one, it is a covenant to each other and to God. Now, I know many have suffered divorces, and I know that sin is still there, and God's grace is wonderful. I know there are many who are single who yearn to be married, and it hasn't happened yet. And I understand that. Two of our daughters were in their late 20s before they got married, and I remember one calling in tears and their states away from me, and they had just been to another friend's wedding, and she just blurted out on the phone, Dad, what's wrong with me? You know, and I understand the pain of loneliness, you know, through them, and that yearning to be somebody's wife, to be somebody's treasure. Bottom line, in life. And I know sin comes in, it crushes it, and things like that, but yet God's design is that it is to be a covenant, have a covenant made between them. Diane and I were not saved, and yet we stood before someone, and we looked at each other and we said, I do. You remember that day? Yeah. Beautiful candlelight service, wasn't it? Yep. There were just six of us there, and it was just beautiful as beautiful could be, you know? And we said, I do to each other. I did not know at the time I was telling God, this woman is my treasure for life. I had no clue about God's design. Matter of fact, before I got saved, I thought about throwing in the towel. I'm so glad I didn't. Yeah, I'm so glad that eventually God put me in a place to where I understood I needed his son as my savior, and I just cried out to him, and then life could start transforming for us as husband and wife. You know, and right now, I want you to know this year, I'm hitting the halfway mark of serving God in my 66 years. To me, that's cool. I'm finally getting there to where I'm going to have more years serving God than more years of selfishness. You know, and so if you do the math, and we've been married 47 years, there were a lot of years that I wasn't serving God in the midst of our marriage. I was serving me. And we still don't have a perfect marriage, but we work on it. It's hard work. it's a challenge. With that thought in mind, we've started a new ministry at RMC, and it's called Marriage Mentoring. Diane and I are mentors. We have our first couple that we are menteeing, if you would. And I would like to just say, hey, you know, if you've been married a while and you'd just like to go through a marriage mentorship, here we are. Come on along. Have fun with us. We're going through it for the first time with another couple, but hey, they're trusting us along the way. You know, marriage is fun. And to be able to have people that have gone through good, bad, and the ugly, and recognizing that this is God's design and this is a covenant that God has brought with us, and we ought to be following Him because we said I do to each other, and we meant that I do for better, for worse, sickness and health, all of those kinds of things. And I know a lot of young couples don't say those words anymore, but it's still the same thing. In the end, you say I do. The wedding I had a couple of Fridays ago, he wrote a whole half page of vows. She wrote a whole half page of vows in Arial 10, typed single-spaced. And so they're standing there reading, because I knew they couldn't memorize them, you know, and they read them. And then guess what? They also wanted to do some what they called traditional vows, repeat after me. I mean, they wanted to make sure that their oath to one another was real, I guess. You know, for Diane and I, it was just, in sickness and health, and for better, for worse, yep, and I do. Do you? I do. And that was it. You know, it doesn't matter how we word it. The bottom line is we said yes to each other, and we are saying yes to God. This is your design. You have wonderfully made us, and we are going to be one in your presence as well as each other's. Now we know that ugly thing came along, and God's design ended up being marred. That's chapter 3. It's there. His way, His design, all of it is marred by sin. We know the serpent comes along. The woman, she's down by the tree, and she might be just looking at it for whatever reason. Adam, I believe, is both in earshot as well as eyesight, and he can see it going on, and whoever the serpent is, you and I like to think it's a snake, but at this moment, I don't think he is. Satan is one that can present himself as an angel of light. I just know there's a conversation going on, and there is no way that Eve is afraid of having a conversation. Hey, go ahead and take a bite. No. God said, if I just touch it, I'm going to die. Well, God didn't say that, but, you know, so she had obviously talked to Adam about not eating of the tree. And yet, in the midst of it, you have this thought going on, and she ends up taking a bite, and it tastes great. And she turns to Adam, hey, Adam, have some. And he goes, hi, all right. Oh. And immediately, something is revealed to them that for some reason now brings shame. Two things. First, God told us not to, and He loves having communion with us and chatting with us every day, and we just did something He, our Creator, asked us not to do. Gulp. And the second thing was that they looked at each other for the very first time through lust-filled eyes rather than eyes of joy and purity. And they hide from God. And God comes down, and we know the story. He goes, "Hey, where are you? Where are you?" It's not like God didn't know where they were, but they were cowering, hiding behind some trees and shrubs. And they said, "We're over here because we're naked." Who told you you were naked? And they start confessing. The truth comes out. The consequences are real. Sin has entered the world. You and I are sinners who need to be saved by grace. God's design is marred. You know, I'm so glad that it didn't just stop right there and God go home and say, "All right, figure it out for yourself." He didn't do that. What we see is that God wanted to return his design back to a design of joy and wonder. That which reveals everything that God earnestly wants for them. They sowed fig leaves. God says, "I have a better plan." And he clothed them. And I want you to know at that very moment was the very first blood sacrifice of God. Now, we can ask each other all day long why it's a blood sacrifice that covers sin. I can't answer that. I just know it's God's design. But that day, because they were naked, God killed an animal before them, did the process to clothe them. And so they were reconciled to God, but the consequences are there. And you and I live in the midst of the consequences today, some 6,000 to 7,000 years later. And you and I can have that joy restored. Turn with me back to the book of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to remind us of how this beautiful epistle starts. Ephesians 1 verse 2 says this: "Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you and I with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame and before him in love, he has predestined us to the adoption as sons into the family of God by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, whom by which he has made you and I accepted in the beloved. In him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, and he which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. That in the fullness of times, you and I will." Now think about the body of Christ. You know, you and I love Christianity, you know, and in the end, you know, there will be triumph, victory, unity, harmony, joy, praise, delight in heaven forever with Jesus Christ, if we are in Christ Jesus. And guess what? We can celebrate some of that now in our marriages. The joy, fulfillment, glorifying God. God yearns for my marriage with Diane to be a bright and shining ornament of His glory and His grace here now. God expects me and calls me as a man to strive to love her the same way Christ loved the church. Wow. That's the highest, highest standard. And I want you to know it is a goal and an aim, and it remains a goal and an aim. And sometimes I survive and I do and I strive, and she is loved wonderfully, unconditionally, purely, in every possible way. And yet there are moments where I fail. The body of Christ, the joy that awaits us. I think of a gal who, as she walked up the aisle with her dad, and her husband's beaming, and he tears going, and as she walked down the aisle, she made this mental conscience. When we head out on our honeymoon tonight, when I get in our room, I am going to make a list of 10 faults that I'm just going to let slide. If he does any of them, I'm going to let it slide. Because we love each other. Because we are Christians. I know he will fail me from time to time. And I hope he will do the same for me. Celebrating her 50th anniversary, one of the granddaughters goes, "Do you still have the list? I'd love to see the list." And she goes, "You know, I never made it. But every time he messed up, I said, well, he's lucky that was on the list." God forgives us so graciously. God's design is pure. It is beautiful, whether it's the family of God or marriage. Wanting him to be the center of it is the key. He needs to be head of this church, folks. That is my only goal, to point everybody who comes in here to the wonders and the joys of Christ and to be able to walk in that great grace and mercy and love, because I understand the joy of it. I know what it means to be out here, outside of it, and I understand the joy, this journey that it is to walk with God and commune with Him. And I'm so glad that the joy is restored. And I want to celebrate that in my marriage. As imperfectly as I am, but as perfect as He is. So I don't know where you are in your journey here today. But if you have never, ever trusted Christ as Savior, as we embark on this journey as a family of God, as we consider God's design and family, husband, wife, children, without the foundation of Christ, it is going to be so, so hard. Wherever you're at, all you have to do is call out and say, "God, I know I'm a sinner, and I trust Christ's redemption on the cross. I want Him as my Savior. Forgive me." And guess what? He'll save you. Right there, right now. And the journey can begin. Hard, but filled with joy. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come around the communion table today, Father, we just yearn for you to be the center of it all. We thank you for the wonders of salvation. We thank you for the grand design of creating us male and female and bringing us together and the joys of marriage. Oh, Father, how I pray that you would bless this time. Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in it all. Lord, you know the needs of our hearts, and we just bear our hearts before you. Oh, Father, come and minister to us as only you can. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the men to come forward, and we're going to partake together. We'll pass out the bread, which represents Christ's broken body first, and then we will pass out the cup, and then we will partake together.
Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, only live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, only live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
And our Lord said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And God's word says that they ended with a hymn together. So I'm going to ask us to stand and we'll sing one more song. And we will have people up here if you need prayer for anything, for your marriage, for your singleness, for your brokenness, anything, to receive Christ as Savior, anything. Please come up and have a celebration of prayer.
You are matchless in grace and mercy. There is nowhere we can hide from your love. You are steadfast, never failing. You are faithful. All creation is in awe of who you are. You're the healer of the sick and the broken. You are comfort for every heart that mourns. Our King and our Savior forever. For eternity we will sing of all you've done. For eternity we will sing of all you've done. And we sing, God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. Your heart, it moves with compassion. There is life, there is healing in your love. You're the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. For eternity we sing of all you've done. And we sing, God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. Where there was death, you brought life, Lord. Where there was fear, you brought courage. When I was afraid, you were with me. And you're lifting me up. You're lifting me up. Where there was death, you brought life, Lord. Where there was fear, you brought courage. When I was afraid, you were with me. And you're lifting me up. You're lifting me up. You're lifting me up. You're lifting me up. And you're lifting me up. You're lifting me up, and we sing, God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us.
Amen. You all have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next time.